iRock, Danmarks eneste rockradio. Fang os på FM, DAB, RadioPlay.dk og nu også som podcast. Velkommen til MyRock Podcast.
Det er blevet onsdag, og dermed tid til endnu en omgang af MyRock Podcast. Mit navn er Emil Schelte. Velkommen til. Vi er nu nået til del 4 i vores Copenhagen Reloaded-serie, hvor du i første halvdel af dagens program kan høre fra Dean DeLeo fra brunchguderne i Stone Temple Pilots, der spillede koncert i Danmark for første gang siden 90'erne. Og det er også den tidsperiode, interviewet kommer til at handle om. Dean DeLeo tager os nemlig med tilbage til den gang, hvor Stone Temple Pilots indspillede deres andet album Purple, der gik direkte ind til nummer 1 på hitlisterne, da det blev udgivet tilbage i 1994. Og minderne væltede ind over DeLeo, der også begynder at beskrive, hvordan hele scenen var dengang i Californien, da de toppede, og hvordan tiderne har skiftet hele grundlaget for, hvordan man i dag laver musik. Derudover kan du også høre om deres koncert på Christiania helt tilbage i 1991, om børneopdragelse og selvfølgelig om, hvad Stone Temple Pilots har i støbeskeen på nuværende tidspunkt. I anden halvdel skifter vi fuldstændig spor. Her kan du nemlig møde Martin Stewart fra et af hardcore-scenens mest eksplosive og mest anerkendte bands, Terror. Terror, der også kommer fra Californien, har dog bevæget sig et helt andet miljø, præget af kriminalitet, bandeoprør, stoffer og vold. Martin Stewart tager os med tilbage til dengang hardcore var i sin spæde begyndelse og forklarer os, hvordan genren har udviklet sig igennem årene. Derudover kan du også høre om nogle af deres vildeste oplevelser på tur og om at være udøvende musiker med decideret sceneskræk. Det er som sagt i anden halvleg. Først får du nummeret Plush fra Stone Temple Pilots.
Dean, actually, we talked 2 months ago on the phone, and one of the things that struck me was your—I don't know if it's a motto or what it is—but you said to me, "Hey, why fit in if you're meant to stand out?" Is that what you live by?
Oh goodness. Well, I mean, shouldn't we all?
Exactly.
Shouldn't we all, man?
But isn't it hard in 2019 to continuously stand out from the crowd?
You know, I don't know about 2019, but I know with each passing year of my life, it gets easier.
Okay. So what you're basically telling me is that when Stone Temple Pilots started out as Mighty Joe Young, you had to find a way to stand out. So what did you actually do then?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. There was no real concerted effort, you know. I just kind of simply did what we did. I mean, if we're talking about just musically speaking, you know, but I don't know. I think that's one of the aspects how we should live our lives. You know, look, I have some young kids that are in school, and it's interesting to see, you know, my 7-year-old daughter come home, and when some of the girls are mean to her, you know, and, you know, it's, you need to tell her, you know, I need to tell her, and just, you know, just don't worry about it. You know, you just continue following your heart and listen to your heart and just continue being kind and respectful. And
actually, that was one of the things we talked about, bringing up kids, because I got a 6-year-old, and yeah, he's got friends in the daycare that, well, friends, they're mean, right?
Yeah. It's awful when your kid comes home and it's like, yeah. Oh, they said this to me, you know, like.
So have you got any good advice for us parents? What the heck do we do? Because my kid come home, and one of his friends said, "Hey, I want your Pokemon card," and they fucking steal it. And that's the biggest thing. He wanted that
card. Your kid
card.
Is crushed, right?
Yeah,
crushed. He comes home so upset and sad.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know. Look, I mean, yeah, being a parent is. Is he like one of the best? I think the biggest thing is trying to let go a little bit. We just want to protect them, you know, in every aspect. And, you know, but feeling's part of life, man.
Yeah, but if you protect the kids too much, it'll be harder when they actually have to stand on their own.
They need to know how to, you know, reconcile on their own.
Yeah. Well, let's get back to the music, because actually, right around this day, it's 25 years since that you released Purple, the second album, and it's coming out in a special remastered version one of these days.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me, take us back. What happened in 1994? Any memories from the recordings?
Oh yeah, many. You know, I remember making that record like it was this morning.
Okay.
Yeah, we had the luxury of not only working on that record with the great Brendan O'Brien, but we made most of our records with Brendan. And it was just a lot of fun, man. Brendan brings in such an amazing energy and his expertise and his abilities. It was a lot of fun, especially going in and making that record knowing what we had in our pocket. You know, we had some songs that we really liked, mm-hmm. you know. And that was a great time. We were down in Atlanta, and we never had really been down there before, and we lived down there while making the record, and it was just a lot of fun, man. Really, really, really a nice time, and just getting to explore, you know, around Georgia, and, you know, and then the fulfillment of, you know, making the record. And look, man, you know, you're only as good as those who are around you, right? And, you know, I was surrounded by some extraordinary people. And, you know, Mr. Weilen was brilliant, man, to say the least.
Yeah.
Just absolutely brilliant. And, you know, when we handed that guy a piece of music and what he did with it lyrically and just... was very fulfilling.
I can imagine the pressure being on your shoulders coming out of a tour and the album Core coming 2 years prior to this. Didn't you feel like there was a heavy burden?
No.
Not at all?
None.
Wow.
None at all.
The Heart's second album, and you just went into the studio and going like, well, whatever happened, happens. Or?
Yeah, we don't have crystal balls, you know. Look, we're our own biggest critics. So when we leave the room, and the five of us, that's including Brendan, mm-hmm. when we finish the day or finish the session or finish the record, you know, we have to be pleased. You know, starts there.
Yeah. So basically.
But that still isn't going to equate to sales, you know?
No.
We just, look, we just.
It never does, right?
You know, we just. Like I said, we are our own biggest critics. And once we're satisfied, then we put it out into the ethers, man.
Mm. I read somewhere, might have been Wikipedia. Well, I know I can't trust everything there, but I read somewhere in 94, actually, there was like a poll in Rolling Stone magazine saying that you were the best new band voted by the audience.
Okay.
And the most hated band voted by the critics.
Oh.
So how do you feel about being like the audience's band instead of the critics' band, if it is like that? Feels kind of good, right? I guess. Well, I mean, the audience are the guys that actually have to buy the music and come to the concerts.
Yeah, I mean.
Or.
Yeah, I mean, that was just, you know, it's interesting because, you know, look, it's. That's the greatest thing about being a human being. We have the, in the words of Devo, freedom of choice.
Exactly. And well, now you're in Denmark for the first time in, I can't recall how many years, but it's been way, way, way too long since you've been here.
It's been a long time, man.
Yeah.
You know, we actually played Christiania.
Mm-hmm.
So did I say that correctly?
Yeah, Christiania?
Christiania.
Yeah.
We played in there many, many years ago. I think 1991?
Yeah.
With Fishbone.
Wow.
Many years ago.
Yeah.
And I remember going back down in there at night with Scott one night, very late at night. We were up to no good. And
well, you basically are if you're going that late at night.
We got in there, man. We got in there, and I looked at Scott. I was like, this feels a little unsafe, man.
Yeah. But the good thing about Christiania, if you're not a cop, you basically are safe.
Okay. It was a pretty amazing place, quite honestly.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
So actually, it's not that far away from here.
Yeah, it's just up the street. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're going this time?
No. We're on pretty early today, and I know we have a big travel day today,
okay.
Ferry crossing and all that sort of thing.
Okay. So it's been a lot of years since you've been here. So tell me, what can the audience expect from the Stone Temple Pilots anno 2019?
Well,
apart from a new lead singer.
Yeah, Mr. Jeff Gutt will be taking that duty. You know, we're only limited to an hour, so we can only squeeze so much in, but we're going to try to cover stuff from each of the albums, a couple songs here and a couple songs there. You know, it's much nicer. Maybe next time we come through, we'll do our own headlining set and we can play a couple hours and really just spread ourselves across the entire catalog.
Okay.
But, you know, we're going to play, you know, generally when we do these kind of festivals, the shorter sets, we just kind of play what we think people will want to hear, you know, and try to remain selfless and not be selfish and, you know.
Too artsy.
Yeah. We hope you like our new direction.
Well, I just want to ask you, because I know I got some favorite songs that I hope are on the set
list. Okay, lay it on me.
Wicked Garden.
Okay, we'll do that.
Great. I'm really looking forward to that, because that is number one, because obviously they're Plush, Industry Love Song, Sex Type Thing. You can go on, right?
You said number, we'll open with it.
Wicked Garden?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit, man. I'm really looking forward to that. I also wanted to know, because now you're on tour, How do you feel like being when you're on tour? What do you actually do when on tour, apart from doing interviews and doing the shows?
Well, we were just in Stockholm, and we had a day off. And have you ever been?
Yeah.
I mean, what a city, man.
Beautiful city.
So, you know, there's that old saying, when in Rome. You know, we love to take in the local sights, the local food, the local history, the architecture. Sometimes we have friends in town. For instance, we played Gröna Lund. Mm-hmm. And the night before, Sting was in town, so I have some friends from his band. And, you know, you kind of run into people and just take in what the city has to offer. Unfortunately, today, we just got here. Mm-hmm. We rolled in this morning. We drove in from Sweden last night. And today's one of those days. We have another show tomorrow, I think, in Dessel.
Okay.
I think. I'm not sure.
Well, I won't hold you on to that because...
Don't.
How many shows have you got on this tour? You know that?
You know, it's about 3.5 weeks. We're doing about 5 shows a week.
Okay. So yeah. You're busted when you're done?
We're moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're moving.
You definitely are.
Like I said, we'll do the show today and we'll get tidied up. It's going to be a hot one today, so we'll get tidied up and we'll get on the bus. And we got about 3 hours to the ferry, and then we'll cross in about another 7 hours, and we're doing another one tomorrow.
Yeah, live on tour.
Life on tour, man.
And it's been more than a year with the new album out. It's been greatly received. There are some nice tunes on that.
Thank you.
Are you working on new material while on tour, or do you have to like go into the studio to do that?
We just finished another record.
Really?
Yes.
Can you tell me something about it?
Well,
or aren't you allowed to do that?
It's something very different from what we've done before. It's a record that Robert, my brother, has been wanting to make for a very long time. I'd say 15 years or more.
Okay.
And it's just a reflection of what... 2018 was an interesting year, to say the least. So it's basically a reflection of that. And it's very melancholy.
Okay. So when will it be out?
I think September.
Okay. Wow.
And but as they say, it's mixed and mastered, ready to go.
Yeah, so we never know. But one thing we will know is that it will be called Stone Temple Pilots, because the last two albums has been called that. Or
should we go for three?
Why not?
Yeah. You know, I don't know the validity or factual aspect of this, but I was told when Peter Gabriel named one of his first albums, which was called So.
Mm-hmm.
You know that, right?
Yeah, sure.
Do you know this story?
No.
Well, Peter, I don't know how many albums he released up to So. 8? Mm-hmm. 9? I heard somebody said, hey, you know, every album's called Peter Gabriel. And he said, So?
Wow.
I don't know. That's the story that I heard. I don't know. But that was the first album that had a title.
Yeah. Okay. So. You got it. Right. Actually, I was thinking about the reason why you called the latest album Stone Temple Pilots. Was that to mark like a new beginning of the band? Like this is a new era?
No, quite honestly, I'll be very honest with you. The cover to that album, we absolutely love this piece of artwork. And to what you just said, you know, look what the artwork says.
Mm-hmm.
It's a butterfly. There was a metamorphosis.
Yeah.
That was done by this Australian artist named Hans Buchler. And we just love that piece of art so much that we didn't want to muddle it with a title. We felt that that image said it all.
It was strong enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess it is.
We liked the way the album cover looked, just with you know.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to put anything else on it to ruin it, basically. We just wanted that piece of art to really say it all.
And basically, that's a lot anti-2018. It is. It's like you never get to let the, whether it's the music or the art or whatever, let it speak for itself. It has to be like always, it has to be explained. There has to be hashtags. There has to be everything. You have to explain everything. And actually, it's more clean.
Well, You know, it takes an idiot to complicate and a genius to simplify.
That's not a motto. Well, that'll be the start of our next interview. Dean, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I'm really looking forward to the show.
Nice to see you.
Nice to see you.
Stone Temple Pilots har siden færdiggjort materiale til et nyt album, der dog ikke forventes at blive udgivet engang før næste år. Forsanger Jeff Gott har dog løftet sløret en smule og fortæller, at den næste udgivelse bliver meget anderledes end de tidligere plader og har en akustisk vibe over det. Om det så betyder, at den er 100% akustisk, det må vi vente med at finde ud af. Nu skal vi som tidligere sagt over en helt anden boldgade. Det amerikanske hardcore band Terror er kendt for at lave nogle helt maniske shows, hvor der hele tiden bliver opfordret til mosh pits, crowdsurfing, circle pits, wall of death og hvad der nu ellers findes derude, og publikummet på Copenhagen var fuldstændig klar til at adlyde hver eneste ordre. Jeg fik en snak med guitarist Martin Stewart om, hvordan de holder gejsten op til hver eneste show, hvad de vildeste turoplevelser har været, og hvordan han døjer med sin sceneskræk, da han trods alt spiller et band, der har næsten 200 shows om året.
Never. I'm sitting here with Martin from Terror, the Hardcore Kings from LA.
King.
Just having a beer. You just went off stage.
Yeah, yeah. Just a few minutes ago. It was great. I mean, we were talking about this earlier. We don't really get a chance to play in Copenhagen all that often, and this was our first time doing this festival, so
yeah,
it was incredible for us. I mean, yeah, new experience. It was great time. A lot of people are here. Saw some cool bands. Watched Stone Temple Pilots for my first time ever, so sick.
Yeah, it was the first time they played here in 25 years as well.
Yeah, I mean, I never got to see them, unfortunately, like with the original lineup, but it was crazy watching them. I didn't get to watch for that long, but I watched them for about 5 songs, and then you realize how many big radio hits they had, because one after the other, I was like, damn, I remember hearing this on the radio when I was a kid, you know, it was always on and shit. So yeah, they got bangers.
So you get starstruck a lot also.
Starstruck? I mean, I don't even know what they look like, to be honest, like visually. Like I remember like the music videos and stuff like that, but yeah, I don't think music people really get me starstruck. Like,
no.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Thankfully, because, yeah, then it would be real awkward around
here.
Yeah,
I know. Like here backstage.
Yeah.
Hands with everyone, yeah.
Yeah.
So, anything else you're going to see? Do you have time to go around today, or you have
We're done for the day, and we don't leave till later tonight, so
nice.
I'm for sure going to watch Tool. I've seen Tool before a couple of times, and my homie sings for that band The Fever 333.
Yeah, I just interviewed them, actually.
Oh, cool, yeah. Jason?
Was
that who you, he's from LA. He's from like a neighborhood close to where I'm from. So I've known him from going to hardcore shows like way back in the day and stuff. So yeah, he's been around for a long time. So I'm going to check them out and show him some love. And I have to look at the rest of the schedule and see what else is going on.
Well, one of my favorites is Ultimus, newly formed band with Dave Vincent.
Oh, okay.
And Blasphemer from Mayhem.
Oh, really?
And Flo Monnier from Cryptopsy.
Oh, wow. Wait, he's the drummer?
Yeah, the drummer,
right?
Yeah, exactly. And I saw had a Revenge t-shirt on, so
yeah,
I'm thinking this may be a band
right
for you.
Up my alley, I'll for sure check that out, too, then. Yeah, I got time, so.
It's a quarter past midnight.
What's that?
It's a quarter past midnight they've gone.
That's when they play?
Yeah, that's when they play, when it's all dark.
I think we'll still be here, so yeah. I'll have nothing else to do, so I will absolutely check that out.
Yeah. You just mentioned your relationship to Fever and Jason.
Right.
Let's go back to the early days in the LA hardcore scene. How do you remember those days?
I mean, it was obviously a lot different than current times, just because, like, I mean, I've been coming to hardcore shows now for over 20 years, so things are bound to change over that period of time, and a lot of other people my age, I unfortunately notice that they complain about the changes instead of, like, just adapting to what's new and finding the good in it all. And being constructive. I think a lot of older heads lack the ability to do that. So I've been lucky enough to be able to do that. That's why I'm still around after all these years, still going to show. All of us still going to shows when we're not home or when we're at home. And it was a lot different then, and it was a lot less safe, I would say. And then the generation before us, like, you know, I'm turning 38 in a few days, and Scott's generation that are in their 40s, they had it even way rougher. Like, it was crazy then, and like, I don't think a lot of people take the time to appreciate how well they have it now. You know, it's like, it's not, you know, it's not nearly as violent, it's not nearly as intolerant, and there's a lot of open-minded people and a lot of progression happening, which is really cool. I think it's great. So, you know, I'm happy.
Okay.
I'm totally cool with what's going on, because no matter what, even if there's a new band that I don't necessarily listen to, for every band I don't listen to, there's gonna be like 5 bands that I do that are all young and like new. So it's like, yeah, it's fine with me, whatever.
So are there any bands on the uprise right now you would recommend?
Yeah, I mean, oh man, that's another thing, is right now there's so many bands because it's a lot easier to record music now, you know. any person in their bedroom can write a song because you have a laptop computer right there. So like, I'm not kidding, man. Just this, like the past couple of months, there's been so many releases that come out that are so cool. Like there's this band called Wildside from Canada that like they put out a record like maybe 2 months ago, and there hasn't been a day that's gone by that I haven't listened to the LP. And you know, this band Abuse of Power just put out a new record. There's this label called Triple B Records that I swear they have a new record coming out every month, you know. And there's tons of shit. It's crazy.
You're pretty known for your wild, very energetic shows when you play on stage.
Yeah.
Where do you get the energy from?
The beer.
The beer. It's the beer.
two of us are straight edge, so they obviously don't get it.
They don't drink.
I don't know. I mean, it's to be honest, sometimes it's difficult because like I'm a nervous kind of person, and getting on stage is always difficult for me to get in front of people. And then something like this, where there's like a sea of people in front of you, it's on a big ass stage. It's difficult, but I don't know. Once you start playing and you see the way they react to it, and there's just an energy flow between the crowd and the band, and it just pumps us up.
Yeah.
That's why I like the way I am. I'll always prefer like to play a show where there's not that disconnect of a barricade and stuff, because that just helps the momentum of the show get crazier. But today was perfect. I was so cool. It's a different experience. And,
so you actually prefer the smaller venues, the clubs?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not shitting on like playing a big ass stage. It's definitely incredible that I get to be here playing with Stone Temple Pilots or whatever.
Yeah.
But if I had it my way, and I'm sure I speak for the rest of the band when I say this, it's just a little more comfortable and a little more fun for us to be in a club where there's no disconnect from the crowd. And even though it can be annoying sometimes when someone jumps on stage and knocks your shit over or bumps into you and whatever may happen, it's still fun, you know. So I love it.
Speaking of that, some people knocking over your guitar or drum set or something like that, what is your craziest moments? What do you remember?
Man, we played one show one time. I'll never forget this. I bring this up a lot. We played once in the Philippines, in Manila, and it was like, it got to the point where they definitely sold too many tickets, so there was too many people inside the show. And the level of humidity and heat in the venue is like nothing I've ever experienced in my life. You couldn't breathe even just walking into the club. And it was time to play, and we were setting our stuff up, and like I'm kind of embarrassed mentioning this, but I almost had like a panic attack where it was so hot and so crowded, and I couldn't see anything trying to set my stuff up because there were so many people on the stage already that I had to like throw a bunch of people out of my way, and I pushed my way outside, and I actually considered just leaving because I was like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to finish this show? I won't survive. Like, I'm going to have a heart attack or something. So I just took a few deep breaths and went back in and sucked it up, and it was the craziest show I've ever been a part of. And like, our bass player didn't even play the whole time. He was just like on top of people, like getting like crowd surfed around, and like it was crazy. And like half the time my stuff wasn't working because these like kids were like knocking all my shit unplugged. And you know, at that point you just have to like laugh and just take it for what it is, because it didn't even matter. I don't even think it mattered what we were playing at that point. Everyone was just so pumped up to be there and see the show that they didn't even need us. They were just like, they were having fun on their own. It was wild.
So what do you feel the craziest crowd is, if we say continent wise like, how does America differ from Europe?
That's a good question. I mean, it changes over the years and stuff, but what I feel that I notice here that's different is like a festival like this, where you can have such a diverse lineup that that really works together. And like, you know, sometimes people, including myself, in America can get a little judgmental when it comes to what the type of music you're listening to, and I'm guilty of that. I try to be as open-minded as I can, but sometimes it just doesn't work out. But you know, I notice that crowds are just a little more diverse, and also I don't want to use the word loyal, but the thing that I notice is, say we play a show, and you know the people that come to the show, a lot of them are older than the age of 30. You know, you have people that come back for a long time. Whereas what I notice in the U.S. is like, you feel like you're constantly playing every several years. You're playing to a whole new crowd of people because, like, you know, it's all young people that are getting into it, and a lot of them kind of stick around for a period of time and then they move on to something else. And yeah, so the older guys, they just kind of, they don't really exist as much. I'm not saying at all, but it's just, it's more obvious here in the continent of Europe that you have an old, way older crowd. Like, I'm talking like, you know, we'll play in Germany and there's like in Berlin, there's dudes there that have been been coming to see us since we first came here, and then have been going to shows since, you know, they were kids, and they're now like 60 or something. Yeah. You know, like, and they're like just so like punk and hardcore is like their life, you know, and they've dedicated their life to it, you know. And like, some people might think that's like corny to dedicate your life to something like this, but you know, I appreciate it. I think it's incredible.
Yeah, I guess people get tattoos with your band name also.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll always blow my mind, you know. Like, I don't think I would ever get a band's name or, you know, just tattooed on me. That's me personally, but I do have a logo of a band tattooed on me, so.
Which one?
The Devil's Blood.
Okay.
So, like, so I can understand, like, why someone would do it, but I don't know, just the word terror looks pretty fucking crazy on, yeah, you know, just tattooed on your body. So, yeah.
Yeah. And you've been playing for 17 years, I think we're up to now. Formed in 2002?
Okay, so. But,
and you came in 2006?
Yeah. So I missed the first couple of years of the band, so like 2 or 3 years, but. Yeah, holy shit. Wait, so 15, 16 years, something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, time flies.
Time flies. Absolutely.
How do you think the band has evolved over all these years?
I don't know. I mean, just like, maybe just the places that we're able to play and the bands that we get the opportunity to play with. Like, I don't think that the sound has changed all that much because, you know, the band makes music that we want to hear, you know, so it's like our taste hasn't really changed that much, but we're all a little less, we're a little more calm now. I mean, when I first joined the band, I could say we were fucking crazy. Like,
yeah.
That was at the peak of, like, I was in my 20s when I joined the band, and we were pretty wild, like the other guys that were in the band too at that time, and we did a lot of stupid shit, a lot of fun shit, and we got in a lot of trouble. Like, man.
Anything you can share?
I mean, we, like, my first experience coming to Europe and playing these big festivals, like, I'll never forget this because it's so crazy for a band like us. You know, you play hardcore shows and then you get to come to these festivals where you're playing with, like, you know, Motorhead and stuff.
Yeah.
I never in a million years thought I would be in that position to play to multiple thousands of people. And we just didn't really know how to act. And we got, like, we were, you know, pumped up from a good show somewhere in Germany, one of these festivals. I don't remember the name. I won't say the name. And got into a little disagreement with the security guard and a guy in the band at the time. Hit one of the guys in the head with a bottle, and we had to bail people out of jail, and the festival didn't want us to come back ever again, but we were able to, like, smooth it out and come to an understanding, and we've played a couple of times since then, so everything is good now. It's all in the past, but just stupid shit like that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't pay me to do something like that now. Like, there's no way I'm gonna get in trouble over some dumb shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So
you as persons have evolved.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'd say. We're a lot more. We just grew up, you know, and we stopped being idiots and got a little more focused on what we were doing, you know, while still having fun. Yeah.
But you're still wild and crazy on stage, so
yeah, yeah, that's where it counts, you know. That's what counts is
focusing.
If we have, like, if any one of us is having a shitty day or whatever, our life is in a weird spot, and you channel all of that aggression into the music on stage, and there you go, there's your outlet.
Mm.
And I think it goes the same for someone in the crowd. It's like, you have have your shitty work week and your girlfriend's pissing you off or your boyfriend, and then you come to the show and you hit the pit, jump off stage, scream a bunch of shit, and then you feel refreshed at the end of the night, you know? I really think that's a real thing. I know people talk about it a lot, and the more you say it, it maybe starts to sound cheesy at some point, but it's reality. Like, you know, it's like, this is an escape for all of us, you know?
Like this festival, for example. So it's 4 days a year where people can come and go crazy.
Yeah.
Before they have to go back to work.
Yeah, then like looking at the crowd, and then and it's like I do this, like I'll be up on the stage and I'm looking at everyone out there and I'm like, man, as soon as this weekend is over, that, you know, most of them are going back to like a job.
Yeah.
And like the people they work with are probably gonna be like, what did you do this weekend? And they don't even know how to like describe what they just experienced. It's like you don't know how to communicate it the right way to the outside world, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty weird because people will dress up like a fucking giraffe or something, you know?
Or Santa Claus. I saw a panda when I was walking in. They were dressed like a panda.
I know, right? The mentality just changes. But you're constantly on tour.
I think you could say that.
All the time.
We're getting older now, and we're trying to like relax on that side of things a little bit. It actually has mellowed out a little from when I first joined the band. You know, like there was times where I was gone, you know, I swear like 10 out of 12 months of the year. So it's a little less now, but you know, we just try to pick and choose what's the best, you know, what fits for us the most and what makes the most sense, you know, and like try not to like overexert ourselves. And you know, it's like you can't play the same places over and over and over again and like expect people to still have the like the demand to like want to see you if they're like, oh, I won't go this time because I know they'll be back and, you know, next month or whatever.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So, yeah, we try to like trying to cool it a little bit.
So you're trying to not tour as much.
I mean, that would be ideal for me.
For you? Yeah.
I still want to tour. We all still want to tour.
Yeah.
Just kind of do it in a more methodical kind of way, you know, where it makes more sense for everyone. So
it's also if you get pressured every time you have to go on stage and and you have to drink a lot of beers to go on, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's
and it tears you a bit.
It's a real thing, man. Like I the three of us that do drink, it's like every night.
Yeah.
Every night, it's like at least a few beers to like loosen up, you know, to like not feel so tense, you know, because it's always, it's, you know, no matter what, it's all. But I appreciate that it is that, because that way I never get bored of it. You know, some people, they just like, it doesn't even matter that they're playing a show. They're just getting up there and it's like a clockwork type thing. But for me, every show is like a whole thing, you know, where I got to mentally prepare for it. It gets exhausting sometimes, but I mean,
yeah,
I wouldn't trade it for anything. So
I could imagine.
Yeah.
How about injuries? Do you get more injuries now than
playing? I haven't really. I've had like I've had my lip busted a lot of times just from like having the mic like this and then someone bumps it and it hits me in the mouth, you know. But I've never been like seriously injured on stage, but I have been injured off stage. Like I had you can see my hand is like totally.
Yeah, I see.
I have no knuckles right there because I had a broken hand when I was young, you know, when I first joined Terror, and like I had it in a cast and I was supposed to keep it in a cast, but we were gonna play a show, so I got garden shears, like the big scissors, and I cut the cast off and played the show instead, and now my hand is basically deformed because of it. The bones like set weird, so that's another dumb thing that I did in the past, you know, like I wouldn't dream of doing that shit now.
No
yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
So what does the future bring for Terror now?
Well, we just sort of recently put out a record, so we're just kind of like hitting spots here and there. You know, we're here now, and a little like a month ago, we were in South America, and we just did Australia and Japan. We did a U.S. tour, and we're doing another. We just finished a tour with Hatebreed, like their 25-year anniversary in the U.S. Hatebreed and Obituary, and now. Yeah, after this, we go home, and then we do another one last U.S. tour with Stick to Your Guns. And then we have some time off. So we're going to chill and recollect, like, collect our thoughts and figure out what's next. Some dudes are writing music and just preparing for the next thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, just, you know, the typical band shit.
That's how it is.
Record tour, make some music, play some shows, and then repeat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so.
That's the life of a musician, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, it was great talking to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And go see Ultimus.
Her var Stick Tight fra Terror, og dermed slutningen på denne uges MyRock podcast. I næste uge vender vi igen tilbage til Refshaleøen, hvor du kan høre endnu mere fra nogle af årets største artister. Mit navn er Emil Schelte. Tak fordi du lyttede med.
MyRock podcast.